Now, before I speak, I'd like to say something. I want it to be known publicly. Why are you laughing? This is very serious. I want you to know, public, that I, for one, am 100% in favor of loving pure maple syrup. If you were here last week, you heard Pastor Jason talk about loving the facsimile, something that is put together cheaply, haphazardly, without richness. And so I just want you to know that I am not of that ilk. I love maple syrup. As a matter of fact, driving in this morning on what's the name of the street? Sweeberg Road? There's a sign that talks about Lakeside, is it? Give maple syrup for Christmas Christmas gifts. What is it? Jakeman's. Oh, I thought it was Lakeman. Jakeman. Oh, I almost went to the wrong place. Okay. So just be it known, we are divided on very few things theologically, but as far as what you put on pancakes, to me, it's a waste of time. You may have to pay extra money, but it's well worth it. Would you not agree? What do you use? Okay. We'll have a secret ballot on that one of these days. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, let me encourage you to turn to the first chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 2. And I want to look at a series, along with Pastor Jason, for the next today and the next two Sundays on what we'll call Christmas surprises. Christmas surprises. And this morning, I want to focus our attention on Luke's Gospel chapter 1 and we will pick it up at verse 5. It's a long passage, but I do want to look at the contents of this. And we've entitled the message, Who Could Believe the News? So with our Bibles open to this section, let me read from verse 5. Oh, let's go down maybe to verse 20. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are going to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go out on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. I think that's very interesting to notice. He said, I'm old, but my wife. Very, very discreet way of saying it, even although he was talking to the angel. My wife is well along in years. The angel answered, I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true as at their proper time. Christmas is always filled with surprises. You remember as a child how surprised you were at Christmas time? Did your parents put the gifts under the tree early in the season, and then you'd take them when they weren't looking and shake them, feel them, and try and figure out whether your brother got something bigger or better than you? I was raised as an only child. I may have shared this with you before. I was adopted. My mother told me that they only adopted one because I was equal to four. But the support group helped me get over that. It was very, very beneficial. But at my home, when I was growing up, there was absolutely no sign of Christmas at all. Nothing. The only close thing there was some Christmas cards as they came were put up on the mantle. But there was no Christmas tree, no gifts, nothing. And when I went to bed on Christmas Eve, my parents decorated the tree and put all kinds of presents, and most of them were for me. Because who else was there, right? So when I woke up on Christmas morning, it was like unbelievable. I still remember the excitement that there was of all of these gifts were for me. For me. Was I a spoiled child? Absolutely not. Nothing close to it. But you know, the surprises that we have. When I was a little older, I found out that my father, who was a pastor of the church just up the street, would just take the tree from the church after the Christmas pageant, and he would carry it home. I still remember the first time I was old enough. Remember this, Gloria? You might remember this back when. But he would carry this tree, and I still remember it would be so slippery. It was only a block, but I hear smash, smash. About 10 balls would fall to their death on the sidewalk while we carried this thing. I finally was let in on the secret that this is where this Christmas tree came from. I don't know if the deacons ever knew from the church that he stole the tree, but nonetheless, we had a great Christmas. Surprises. There are a number of surprises listed for us here. Verses 5 through 12 give us the fact that there was a surprising visitor. And the truth is that when God acts to fulfill his promises, he meets a wide array of needs. Keep in mind that there had been a 400-year empty, no communication from God between the Old and the New Testament. That's 10 generations. So 10 generations had passed. There was silence, there was darkness, there was nothing. And in the heart of Zacharias, along with others, there was a remnant of people who longed for the promised Messiah. They had read about it, they had studied about it, they knew it in the Old Testament. Isaiah had spoken of it, and they longed to see Messiah come. And now, after this darkness, if you will, that there was a surprised visitor to Zacharias, the one who was a holy man, a righteous man, we're told that. The whole thing is steeped in righteousness. They did that. It was exactly what was needed for them to accomplish the purposes of God in the position that he held. Elizabeth's feelings are perfectly understandable. She was barren. She said in verse 25 of this chapter that it was a disgrace to be barren. And back in those days, there was a sense in which that children were a gift from God. Not so much today. It may be an opportunity of blessing, And it may be an opportunity of blessing to not have children. There are many people who are not entrusted with children. But God somehow uses the opportunities of those people to minister to a greater extent to a wider circle of individuals. There were probably about 18,000 priests, and Zechariah was one of them. And the lot fell to him to go into that place to give that offering of incense. As Zechariah offered up the incense in prayer, an angel appeared, a surprising message, but also a surprising visitor. Verses 13 and 14 give us the message. The announcement is unusual, however, in the fact that it was given to the father of this child that was to be born. Usually it was given to the mother, but in this case, given to the father. And he senses the presence of God's agent and is taken back by the surprising development. If you look at verses 13 through 17, you'll notice the announcement proceeds in stages. First, the child's name would be John, verse 13. The response to the child, verse 14. The position and the character of the child, verse 15. And the mission of the child, verses 16 and 17. Zechariah's prayer has been answered. They prayed for a child. They didn't have a child. But they also longed for the fulfillment of God's prophecy in the Old Testament for Messiah to come. Nonetheless, the child will also fulfill the personal desire of Zechariah and Elizabeth as they longed for a little one. So, there was a national gift and a personal gift. Sometimes God answers to prayer come in surprising ways after a long, long, long time. Have you noticed that? We pray and we pray. And I have seen God answer prayer for people who have been gone to heaven for a long time, but their prayers were so significant and so important. Zechariah certainly understood the biology of life, that I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years, and how in the world can we? But hey, there was a bit of a judgment on him, if you will, that he was silenced, unable to speak until the child was born. But here we have the God of heaven may do things out of the ordinary. Have you ever noticed that about God? There's no real strategy that's sort of A, B, C, and D. And here again, he gives evidence of that, a surprising message from the surprising visitor. Thirdly, verses 15 through 20, there's a surprising mandate. The name of the son will be John. When God names a child, that child is especially significant in God's plan. As a matter of fact, if you go to the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said that no one greater had been born of woman before John. Very, very significant. He was a forerunner to Jesus Christ. And more importantly, the child will be empowered by the Spirit, even from birth. That is, from his mother's womb, the Spirit of God resided within him. John will be a prophet. His call will be to the people of God to repent and turn from their sin and confess God, Yahweh, as being the only God. And many of the people will be brought back to the Lord. That was the purpose, in preparation for Jesus Christ, Messiah's coming. John will redirect those who respond to his message toward a walk with God. In fact, he will be like, who's an Old Testament person that John was sort of like, a forerunner? Remember? Elijah. Yes. He was like Elijah, who was a forerunner. He's the prophet. There is someone coming, and I want you to prepare your hearts for the one whom God is going to send to you. Back in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, and also Malachi 4 and 5. So this reconciliation with God was the ministry of John. And when God touches a life, relationships on earth will be restored as they are with when God's the restoration comes with God as well. So you have a relationship with God through repentance and a relationship with one another. So Elizabeth becomes the next one to encounter his work. The text simply notes the fulfillment by mentioning that she became pregnant. That's basically it. Just states the fact. For some time, she remained in seclusion. We don't know the reason for the seclusion, but we do know that that's what happened. So there was joy and relief mixed together in Elizabeth. The word came to pass. The surprising result, verses 21 through 25. Let me read those. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized that he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." God will do what he promises in his own way. Can I say that again? God will do what he promises in his own way, and also in his own timing. There's no question about that. Zechariah did not believe the angel's words, and that brought about silence. It must have been very interesting in the home. Can you imagine what it would be like? I mean, to have a wife who has total control of the conversation. Enough said. The crowd becomes nervous, wondering what in the world is taking Zechariah so long, but he comes out, he cannot speak. The high priest going into the Holy of Holies would go. It is said that they would tie a rope around the ankle of the high priest as he went into the Holy of Holies, because he had to go, if he did anything wrong, if he even touched the place that he was to put the shed blood, he would be dead. I mean, the amazing thing about the holiness of God is seen in so many ways. I mean, and therefore, if he died, the only way to get him out, you couldn't go in there or you would die. So they would stick a rope around his ankle. So if something happened that he stepped out of line in the presence of the eternal God, they could drag him out. Bury him. So why is he in there so long? Then he comes out and they're startled with the fact that there's something going on. What's happening? He was able to communicate to them. The people conclude that Zechariah has experienced a very direct encounter with heaven, a vision. And he heads home, reflecting in his silence on what God is going to do. Verses 26 through 28. We have a surprising announcement. Now this is a different context. Let me pick it up at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, as the angel said to so many people when they were confronted by the angel, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, this is beautiful. Verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child at her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her 6 months. For nothing is impossible with God. And Mary's response, a beautiful response, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. A simple calmness rules the exchange between Mary and Gabriel. I think it's very unique to see the context. This girl, probably, we are guesstimating, that she was perhaps 16, maybe 17 years of age. The thought is that she probably was not 18. But so here is this young virgin who is espoused to be married to Joseph, and she gets this information that God, the eternal creator, has chosen her to bear the only one who is able to take away the sin of the world. Have you ever tried to imagine what that was like? Did she sleep that first night? Or did she just toss and turn, overwhelmed? How did she deal with the pregnancy? What was it like for her to realize that within her was the only hope of eternal life, the only hope of forgiveness of sin, the only hope for the people of God to know he was Messiah, and she had been chosen to be the bearer of that body until Jesus Christ was born, and then to raise that child. So a simple calmness rules the exchange between Mary and Gabriel. When Zechariah was in the midst of activity before the whole nation in its religious center, this announcement comes to the future child bearer privately. Privately. The promised one entered human life as he still seeks to meet it at the level of everyday experience, just a normal young girl. I'm always fascinated by that. We, I think, would do something with a little more pomp and circumstance, a little more fanfare, but not so God. He chose a young girl who was faithful to God and faithful to the one who is betrothed to be her husband. Chose her of all the other women at the strategic time, in the fullness of time, and Jesus Christ was born 9 months later. Now, if you go back to the first chapter of Matthew chapter 1, and pick it up at verse 18, we'll see a parallel passage here. Matthew affirms the amazement of God's plan that was promised in Scripture. I love this section. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. Verse 18 says, his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. We read about that in Luke 1. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Keeping in mind that betrothal in the New Testament was different than it was today. Today you can break a relationship, but once you're betrothed to be married, it's like being married. And only through adultery can you ever divorce or sever that. It was fairly overwhelming. Verse 19 says that Joseph was a very righteous man. And Matthew invites us to learn from Joseph's character about fidelity and discipline and preferring God's honor above his own. Verse 20, going back again, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And look at this staggering statement at the end of verse 21. Because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. I don't think Joseph slept for a week after that statement. The reality that together God had brought them at this particular strategic time in history to produce the one who is going to be the sin for all of us. Verse 19, Joseph put Mary away. It meant for Joseph really to divorce her. He was willing to do that. Certainly more important than the present way in which we look at engagement. Joseph's obedience to God cost him the right to value his own reputation. I mean, he would lose a reputation in the fact that his wife was expecting. How can you tell the neighbors and friends that this is what happened? Verse 21, Jesus would bear the name because he would save his people from their sins. So the surprises of Christmas. And amazing, a surprising visitor, and a surprising message, and a surprising result. And an amazing way in which God introduced to the world the only one who was able to save from their sins. So as we spend this month together, as families and as individuals, visiting and sharing gifts and buying gifts, setting up trees and doing all kinds of traditional stuff, let me ask that we would focus our attention on the surprise gift that God gave to each of us. And then to be able to share that gift with other people at this season of the year. There's probably no greater time of the year where people will be more open to hearing about the gift of Jesus Christ to a lost world. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving to us the surprise and the way in which you even introduced it in speaking by Gabriel to Zacharias and to Mary and then to Joseph. Thank you most of all for the significance of those announcements that brought about in time the reality of John's birth and then your son Jesus' birth. We know the rest of the story as to how John set apart the pathway for your son Jesus Christ and his ministry. And we know the rest of the story of how Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin as we've celebrated that this morning. And I would ask that each of us in this place would dedicate ourselves this Christmas to making it an opportunity to experience the delightful surprises that you have for us. As we yield ourselves to you, may this be a special Christmas for each of us as we enjoy your gift to us, your son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.